this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey guys, welcome back to Y'allitics. Appreciate you joining us. We're talking about an issue today that we don't normally discuss.
Yeah, we haven't done a lot on this, but and you know, politicians, many of them, I don't think have been paying enough attention to this either.
Sure.
And so, we're in that company, but we're making up for it today because we're talking about the explosion of voters in one minority group here in Texas and across the country. And right away, and I mean, these are huge numbers, and right away, your mind jumps to Hispanic,
Latinos. And we always hear about the Hispanic influence and the sleeping giant that the Hispanic electorate is going to have when they all start going to the polls. We know about the influence that Black voters have always had when they go to the polls, but we don't talk about Asian American voters. And a recent study from the census shows that there are a lot more Asians moving to Texas.
Their numbers, it says, increased by 5.5%, or more than almost 92,000 people, 92,000 Asian Americans just over the previous year's count. That is a stunning number of people coming to Texas who are in this group. And this is a huge opportunity for politicians who are trying to get elected. This could also shake things up as to who runs for office.
And you know, keep in mind here, just for context and perspective, massive new number of Asian Americans here in the state, this number that Jason just mentioned here, they're not outpacing the number of Latinos in Texas, which is the largest minority group in the state.
Right.
They're not outpacing the number of whites or blacks in this state, but for as tight as elections are these days, the Asian American vote now
is a difference maker.
Is
in some places
a complete difference maker, and it could be here in the state. So the question is, do candidates and campaigns start tailoring messages to Asian American voters? Are they recruited more to run for office?
Well, you know, and what I'm reading here from Pew Research, this kind of puts it into perspective. This is a phenomenon that's been seen in other states across the country as well. But Texas is a real standout here. Okay, so California has the highest number of Asian Americans by far, 4.4 million. The next biggest population of Asian Americans is in New York State, 1.2 million. Texas, right behind number two, New York, though, with 1.1 million. This was as of 2022. And so you're really seeing this ramp up in population here. The question is, how does that translate? Does it translate into more Asian Americans casting their votes? Not necessarily the case. Does it translate to more Asian Americans in office? Not necessarily the case. A lot of this, you get down in the weeds on it and you try to figure out, how does this change things? Does it take a longer time than we think to change things? And we spoke with somebody who has been with this for a very long time, studying these issues, being at the forefront of these issues, because he sees that participation coming. It may not have happened as fast as he wanted it to sort of, catalyze, but he sees it happening.
He sees it happening, and we just did this interview just a few moments ago, and he said something near the end of the interview that really struck us, really struck me, about how, they're trying to light a fire in the Asian community to take part in the electorate, but there's some hesitation.
Because a lot of times you think of it being an outside force that might, keep, a certain group from voting as much or participating as much or getting in there and running as much. He brought up some interesting forces that are on the inside that are affecting that. But he also has a prediction that's changing. Things are starting to move. And this is something that you're going to see and hear about more and more in the years to come here.
Yeah, his name is Albert Shin. He's in South Lake, Texas, in North Texas here.
Yeah.
He's the national chair for the Asian American Action Fund. It's a political action committee. And you talk about being plugged in here. I can't believe we've gone through this many episodes of Y'allitics. This is year number four for us. What are we, close to 200, 300 episodes now?
Probably about 281.
281. Wow, like 281.
This,
you've been keeping track.
That's pretty specific. But we've gone through this many episodes, and this is the first time we focused on this issue here.
Yeah, this is the first time I can remember it.
It's incredible.
But, you know, we're catching up nicely, though, because because Albert, as you say, is very plugged in. He heads up this PAC that is focused on getting Asian-American candidates elected in Congress. He's also a former member of the Obama administration. He was at the U.S. Department of Commerce as the Minority Business Development Agency's National Deputy Director. So, again, he's been plugged into Asian-American populations here in Texas and beyond mm-hmm. Texas in the other states. And he's a great person to talk to about what he's seeing in the big picture with Asian-Americans right now.
So more Asians are moving to Texas or more Asians in the United States, but more in Texas. What does that mean for this state? What does that mean for their political influence? That's where we started here with Albert.
Hey, y'all. This is where Texas politics gets interesting. For another smart conversation on Eolitics.
Albert, thanks so much for taking the time to join us to talk about this. If I could just ask you your top line reaction right now and maybe an explanation, what is going on with the numbers that we're seeing nationally and here in Texas of the number of Asian American voters? It's significant.
Yeah, I mean, with the population growth in Texas overall and people moving here, I think also because of the pandemic and just the economic climate for Texas, Asian Americans are, especially the business climate here too, they flock to those type of regions, and you're just seeing incredible growth in the, you know, Korean American, Vietnamese, Chinese American, and even Japanese to an extent has grown substantially here in Texas over the last several years. So. It's exciting to see.
What do you think comes of this? Because we've heard about from the Hispanic side that, you know, when Hispanics will be the majority in Texas, which has already happened, that they'll start wielding their political influence. We haven't seen that yet. They're just, especially in the Hispanic community, there are a lot of Hispanics who just don't vote. What do you think we're going to see with the increasing numbers of Asian Americans here in Texas?
Yeah, I think overall in the last couple election cycles, we've seen increased Asian American turnout across the country. They have been the difference in a lot of key races, especially in Georgia, when those races, they were the margin of victory. So it's a national trend. It's being really picked up in Washington, D.C. and a lot of the political community that are recognizing, you know, from the congressional levels that the Asian American voting bloc is a very large voting bloc. It is the fastest growing demographic. And they come from so many different backgrounds. It is not a monolith, as people like to think it is, but because of that diversity is really driving, I think, the overall increase of Asian American turnout.
That's what I was going to ask you. You said it's not a monolith, and you know, Hispanics are clearly not a monolith either. There are a lot of them who vote Democratic, but a number of them who are a lot more conservative. Black voters, which are increasing as well by a smaller number, they vote pretty democratically. But for the Asian Americans, do they split any specific way? Is it more independent? Do they go with the issue, the candidate, or what?
Yeah, typically they're seeing more typically a little bit more Democratic, but there's a fair amount that are Republicans. So it's like, you know, it is a lot of, can be economic driven or historical driven. Older generations do tend to be more Republican, like the Vietnamese community and even the Chinese, and the younger generation tend to be a bit more on the Democratic side of the ticket. So there's no consistency, but overall, there's just a massive more amount of increase of AAPI turnout overall in elections.
So Albert, let's look at some of the numbers here, because here in Texas, I think we're sitting at now 850,000 or so registered Asian American voters in Texas. But nationally, I saw this on Pew the other day. It says that Asian American voters have grown by 15%, or about 2 million eligible voters in just the past 4 years. That is way faster than the growth rate for all eligible voters, if you look at the overall there. You're obviously listening for this closer than maybe I have been, but it seems like, you know, when you hear candidates talk oftentimes,
They're talking about wooing black voters. They're talking about wooing Hispanic voters. I don't hear a lot of candidates talk about wooing Asian American voters. Are you hearing that more? And I'm not hearing that? Or, you know, is there a disconnect here?
No, I don't think there's a disconnect. I think it's just a matter of where the population centers are for that. And we are seeing those centers with more Asian American populations that more leaders are reaching out more. The state of Nevada is a classic example. You know, the congressional Senate leadership there are making more concerted effort to reach out to the Asian American voting bloc, because they're such a huge part of the population and economy for the state of Nevada. So as you see the battleground states, there's definitely a lot more of that happening, especially in this presidential cycle. So that is starting to happen. And it is recognized that there, and the voter outreach efforts are actually increasing to get more than registered to vote and educating them on what it means to vote and what are the impacts. So there's big efforts to do that.
Albert, are political parties in Texas and are candidates in this state reaching out yet, specifically here in Texas, reaching out to Asian American voters?
Not as much I've seen in other ones. I do a lot of, you know, national politics for the PAC I'm on, the Asian American Action Fund. And we don't see it as often here in Texas, but it's also such a very vast state. The resources it would take to reach all the voters here are spread across a very large geographic area. It does cost a lot of money. And that is part of the calculus, and I think part of the challenge of reaching voters, just simply the vastness, and actually the voting registration system of the state of Texas is also, you know, can be very daunting.
Let's talk about turnout, if we can, Albert, because these, you know, politicians are not going to reach out to communities if they don't think that those people are going to show up at the polls. And for years here, we've been hearing about the Hispanic vote here in Texas, the Latino vote here in Texas. But yet turnout hasn't made that block of voters, and again, they're not a monolith, but that block of voters as powerful a voice as they could be. Are you seeing something similar with the Asian American vote?
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of it can also be driven by the policy side on what's going on, you know, in terms of the economics. I think that tends to be a big driver for that. And when you talk about small businesses, I think some of that leans more, I think, on the Republican side to get out voters to come out to vote. And sort of more of the dialogue of preserving democracy, that is a part of it, but also, you know, trade, all very complex. It's actually a very complex scenario across all of them. And each of these have their own, like I said, generational differences, you know, with each of the Asian blocs, you know, whether it's Vietnamese, Korean, Japanese, you know, and there's just, the great thing about Texas is it's just so diverse. So when you think about efforts to try and reach those, yeah, it does take a lot. But some members, even congressional, do have better reach. And one part of it is also diversity on staff. You know, if some of the staff, the legislative staff or the political staff, don't have those community connections, they really don't know who the influence are in those communities, so they don't know how to reach them. And I think that's been part of the education campaign for Asian American thought leaders. And how do we educate the members and their staff that these are impactful communities and you have to have the community connection to be able to reach them?
At some point, though, when we look at this increase in numbers, political parties and political campaigns are going to have to really start taking notice of the Asian American voters. Of course, it's a smaller share than the Hispanic number and then the black number as well. But at some point, they're going to have to do that. What's it going to take, do you think, for these campaigns and these organizations to recognize it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good question. There's no silver bullet to that. I think part of the national effort, and there's organizations that do come to Texas to help educate members. They help bring up our community leaders to help educate. Hey, and they provide the data that this is a serious voting block. It's an economic block. And not only is their vote influential, but it's also their political giving in terms of them have the financial resources to be able to give. Even here in DFW, there's actually a huge amount of Asian Americans in the corporate sector, in corporations, in the private sector. And they want to learn more about the political process. And some of them just even, so it's sort of both sides. One part is don't even understand what it means to vote and what it can do and the impact. So it's an education on both sides to be able to do. But regardless, the numbers are there. So how are we going to grow each of those?
Okay, so let's talk about some more numbers here, and this gets really interesting. Of the roughly 4 million, let me go back a little bit further than that even. In 2021, new 10-year maps were drawn by the state here for redistricting. We had seen a huge population growth up to then, and almost all of that population growth consisted of people of color. Yet, when they redrew those maps, it was kind of amazing. The Texas Tribune had a great graphic on this. They showed that whites made up about 40% of the population here in Texas, and yet whites were somehow drawn in to be the majority vote in 60% of the state legislative districts and the congressional districts. It almost seems like you're growing in population, but diminishing in voice.
Yes, I mean, that is without an undeniable truth. I mean, the gerrymandering that has been happening in regard to these data based on the census and the drawing those maps, it is part of our democratic process, right? You elect members, and then the census comes out every 10 years, and those members, the majority, tend to draw those maps. So, but there has to be a balance, and why the courts have weighed in several states on those maps to say, no, this is not right. This is discriminatory. So there's been some check and balance, but that is clearly, I think, part of the challenge in terms of, you know, what happened. Even in Texas 24, there was a race, an Asian American that ran, but the map was not drawn in her favor after it was redrawn. So she was not going to have a chance, unfortunately. But yet there's a significant population in what was Texas 24 before and what it is now. There's a difference on the Asian numbers in those things. So therefore, why is it relevant to even put the resources forward to try and reach out to the Asian voters in a different drawn map?
Albert, can you give an idea for voters who might not understand this? What does it do? What does it feel like, I guess, if you look at the slate of representatives who represent you at the local level, the state level, the national level, and you don't see anyone, or you see one person, or you see maybe two people who look like you, who share the common experiences that you have had in life? What is the real effect of that if you don't see that kind of representation?
Yeah, it doesn't make people want to vote. You want to have that connection to your leaders and the representation. Right now, the U.S. Congress is about 40% people of color. And so that should be a very telling figure, that is an extremely powerful block of people and representation across the United States. Fairmont, the Black caucus, the Hispanic caucus, Asian caucus make up a huge part, but that's that personal connection, right? And if you don't have that connection, why are you going to bother? Why are you going to vote? And what's the purpose?
So how do you overcome that when you talk to communities? How do you get them to stay engaged here and to keep voting if they're not seeing the fruits of their efforts?
Yeah, it's a very intertwined system that there's also a big effort to get more Asian Americans to run for office. And that is, we're seeing that massive amount more numbers across the country in terms of more Asian Americans running. Even in Texas, there's been an increase. I don't have the exact figures, but there's been an increase of state and local races of Asian Americans that we have never seen before. So it's building that bench of people at the state and local level to be able to go to the statewide level, then to maybe a congressional level, and to get that point to really increase that representation. So there's nonprofit organizations that try to educate a lot of Asian Americans on what it means to run for office and how do you do it. And so that is part of the overall political process to get people more out to vote, but also we need people also in office as part of that education.
I don't want to characterize here, but I'm just thinking back, and I think that Hispanic voters can be loud about issues. Black voters can be loud about issues. Jewish voters are loud about issues. I just, maybe I'm missing it, but I don't recollect an issue that I've heard just Asian voters come out and just want to dominate the conversation about. And it's kind of like Jason asked, does a fire need to be lit inside the Asian community to want to take part? Or is it that circle that, hey, if we're not in office, I'm not going to be motivated to even take part in the process?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's been always a cultural battle internally because in general, Asian Americans don't like to rock the boat. They don't like to get involved with politics and they just want to do their job, but you have to understand what's going on. And I think one of the biggest examples of how a lot of Asian Americans got activated was the Asian American hate that had occurred, you know, in the last cycle when the president voiced out a lot of anti-Asian, especially anti-Chinese. And that has driven and risen a lot of actually fiscal money to educate, but also overall into the community to bolster advocacy organizations to help fight off this. And that drove a lot of people to understanding politics matter, that when a leader speaks out and says something detrimental to the community, you as a citizen have the right to speak back. And that has been part of the national concerted effort to be able to do that. And the other one here in Texas was the Asian law statute to prevent people of Chinese descent or whatever from buying real estate. And a huge swath of bipartisan Asian Americans in the state of Texas stood up and countered that and got that legislation watered down. But this is going to go on forever. It's going to keep on going. So it's a battle that's going to continue.
Albert, I was talking to a state lawmaker the other day, a Republican, who told me that one of the priorities next session is to prevent the Chinese government from owning land here in the state. So that issue is coming back when the legislature returns in January. Is this stuff still simmering in the Asian community?
Yes, it's still talked about at a very national level. And a lot of us do guide and try to educate both current incumbents and electeds and candidates that the anti-China rhetoric is very harmful to those that are like us. I'm Chinese American. And though I'm, you know, I was born here in this country, I have no relatives back in China, but these types of laws have detrimental impact when people see me as being Chinese or not, as a perpetual foreigner, and it has impact. So, but it's interesting here in the state of Texas that Texas was the number two foreign direct investment for China for many years. And one of the top exporting products that Texas does to China is oil and gas. So this rhetoric that's happening, it doesn't make economic sense, but when it does, it has huge impacts on Asian communities. And that's what can drive people out to vote and or run for office.
Albert, I think that there can be a tendency, especially if, you know, the gerrymandered system works out so that there is only, you know, this sliver of pie left to go after if you are in a minority community. I'm curious, how often, though, do you find yourself working with or on the phone with leaders who are Latino, leaders who are Black, trying to coalesce, trying to develop, you know, strength in numbers, bigger power just by uniting forces? How much do you work with other groups?
Oh, that's starting to happen. I was just at a conference in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago, the National Association of Latino Elected Officials and the Asian Pacific American Leadership Foundation. These are two entities that are geared solely as organizations for state local officials. And there's been now a convergence of the two on how can we work better together as communities, as state local elected officials, as appointed government officials, because a lot of the issues are all the same, you know, both on policy, economics, immigration, it's all tied together and it's power in numbers. And the more there can be a collective working together and collaboratively, the more successful for everybody. So that is starting to happen across the board when it comes to the Latino and Asian American community, and also the African American community too, as well.
What kind of influence do you see Asian American voters having, or just Asian Americans having here in this country politically over the next decade?
I think it is untested right now. It is immense opportunity to be an extremely powerful group. It just hasn't found itself in a lot of ways because just the vastness of it, but it is growing. You're seeing as far as the growth of the community, of how far it's grown. And the more leaders that are risen to the top, the more they're able to actually help bring about and train and mentor other leaders too as well. And I speak this mostly, you know, from a voting perspective, but also from a fiscal perspective. There are many Asian Americans with a great amount of wealth in this country. And to use that politically is something that has yet to be even tapped. And when it does, I believe it's extremely powerful.
And no idea when that is though, huh?
I think you're going to see in the next, you know, in the next 10 years, there'll be more of that. And it's starting to happen. And I think what happened, the Asian American hate, we saw new foundations stood up and from people with high net worth that came together and put that money together. So that's starting to grow. and it can only grow even more. And you see it in the entertainment industry. New groups have been stood up to really show the Asian Americans in Hollywood and entertainment. So you're seeing more visibility of that. So across the spectrum, not only political, but all the, you know, all the sectors in the American economy, you're seeing more prominence of Asian Americans being highlighted.
Albert, let's talk about voting laws here in Texas specifically. We've had leaders in the Latino community who have been on the podcast here with us before saying that you know, some of the laws that have been passed here in Texas in recent years put a real damper on turnout. It's something that intimidates some voters in their community and frankly makes them stay away from the process, makes them not show up at the ballot box. Is this something that you deal with at all in the Asian American community, or is that not really a thing?
Yeah, no, it is. Voter suppression is a big part of what the community is, you know, when it has resources to educate elected officials and state governments that, you know, to be able to provide more translated material to make the process more simple. I came from the state of Washington and it was all mail-in ballot and it works. It's great. And so you can sit there, you don't have to get into a car, go to a location. Here in Texas, it's much different. So the burden of proof of voting is much tougher here. I speak fluent English, you know, and I read through that website. I am telling you, I struggle to understand what it would be too. So
you
can
see
the impact, right? So voting should be a very easy thing for people to want to do as a right. But for some reason, there's just this concerted effort to make it as difficult as possible. But there is political reasons behind that.
Explain that, though, just a bit. If I go into a voting booth and I don't speak fluent English and maybe I don't speak Spanish and perhaps I speak another language that's not as common, how does that work out? How do I get a ballot in my language?
I see. That's the thing. There's not enough resources to make that happen. Some states are very good. Like I said, Washington, there's a very good voting pamphlet they put together. You can sit there and read all the candidates and all that. But here, you don't have that luxury. You have to do a lot of research. But also, there's independent groups that will go to your door. Sometimes they'll put a hanger on your door. This is the Democratic tickets you should vote for. So it's much different here in terms of getting that information. Here in Tarrant County, I've seen only Vietnamese printed on, and that is it. And you don't see any other languages. So if you speak another language, Chinese or, you know, Vietnamese or Chinese or Korean, and you don't know English, you're kind of stuck. So, yeah.
Let's hem together those last couple of thoughts then, because, you know, we were talking about voter laws and we're talking about, you know, the intimidation factor. If you don't necessarily speak the language and the ballot's not in your language, you can no longer rely on taking your cell phone into the voter booth because you're not supposed to have that on anymore. So it's not like you can go in there and try to translate things with your cell phone. Is that the sort of thing that you're talking about, these little nuanced things that put up a barrier?
Exactly. It's, you know, it should be made as simple as, you know, you're going to go shopping to get the best information possible. But for whatever reason, that is the intent here to make it as difficult. You'll see more turnout if you can make it openly more transparent on who the candidates are and what they are. So, but there is reasoning behind that on why it is the way it is. But this is why, you know, this is a part of our democracy. We have to vote to make those changes, and you have to get people in the office that would be in a position to make those changes.
And I think about two Asian Americans in Texas that are in the state legislature, Angie Tim Button, she's a Republican from Dallas, and then Gene Wu, who is a Democrat from Houston, both of them very outspoken, different political parties. But how much of an effort are, I know they're both making efforts to stand up in the legislature, but in the Asian communities, how much of an effort are they making to get out the vote and to get people involved?
Yeah, I mean, both of them, too, are out there. You know, I see them out in the community. Actually, I see them, Gina, I see them different, I saw Nevada at the other conference. So they're doing their best to uplift the message, especially coming from a state of Texas, as big as it is, and diverse as it is, you know, the importance of Asian Americans, you know, here in this state, and to drive them to get them out to vote or run for office and to support the ones that we already have. Because it takes money also for them to stay in office. So
sure.
How do you continuously, you know, feed them that the funds for their campaigns in order so they can deliver on the policies they want for their constituents?
Mm-hmm. Are there any that I'm missing besides Angie Chin Button or Gene Wu in the legislature?
You know, there's actually a few more.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot then. I feel like I missed them then.
No, I mean, I think there's definitely more at the city council level. I've seen more, especially in Austin and other parts of the state. And like I said, this election cycle is exciting, the fact that we'll see more. But the last cycle, too, and we just saw an explosion of more people interested in running because of the Asian hate that was happening. And we'll continue to see that.
Albert, you've been, and this is my last question for you. You've been working on issues in your community for a very long time. If you had a magic wand that you could wave and just change one thing to make Asian Americans, and Asian Americans specifically here in Texas, really have the powerful voice that they have the potential to have, what thing would that be that you would change? What would you do to make this all just catalyze?
Wow. I think if there's one thing I would do is to, I mean, a massive statewide campaign to really educate on what it means on the power of the vote. I think a lot of Asian Americans here also that do lean more Democratic are actually afraid to speak out because of the massive nature of the Republicans here in the state. And this is also because of their employment and their jobs. So they have to protect their positions, but they shouldn't have to feel afraid. So if there's a way to alleviate that fear, to say, you should not be afraid to speak on what you believe in and what you want to vote for. And just because, you know, you work in a climate that there's other Republicans, I mean, we should have that mutual respect. Business is business, but when it comes to voting, you know, you should respect each other on that and don't be afraid. And that's the one thing, is to take away that fear of Asian Americans to come out to vote. And especially, I think, more importantly, is to give the money.
How tangible is that fear, though, from Asians who may want to say something but are afraid to because of the Republican majorities in Texas?
There is a lot. It's real. I know lots of folks in top level positions, and they could do more, but they recognize they can't. So they help to the extent they can, but there is sort of this dampening effect on their capacity to really be able to use their position's influence and their voice to really try and activate more people.
And they're afraid. They're afraid. What will happen?
I mean, just political dynamics in business. There can be fear of retribution, but typically I've never seen that. I mean, people understand. I mean, if you get money, it shows up on a report, you know, overall, and is because it's public record. And sometimes there's a fear of that. And you shouldn't be, because people give all the time. And, you know, there should be no reason to diminish someone based upon who they give to a campaign or who they're giving it to.
Albert, as usual, I lied. I do have another question. So I know that you all do endorsements quite often. And you know, just so people are clear, you don't just endorse Asian American candidates, obviously. Do you find the opportunity? I've seen some of the national endorsements. Do you find the opportunity in a lot of cases to be able to endorse candidates in Texas? You know, again, we talked about there not being that many elected leaders, particularly in the legislature, who are Asian American, but do you find other allies who seem to be responsive to the needs of your community that end up getting the endorsement?
Yes, the nonpartisan Asian American Action Fund, we have other chapters around the country, and those local chapters can endorse state and local candidates. Mm-hmm. They can do that. And they're pretty dominant in, especially like Washington State. We just started one in Hawaii, you know, Georgia. So there's really large population of that. So it makes it much easier to be able to build up that local, I think, infrastructure to be able to do that. So yes, we do get involved and stay local. And we're, you know, just to add to this, we're seeing over the last, I think, 6 years, we've seen an increase in Asian American C4s. So those are type of political entities at the state level. And there's been a vast increase of that, of the funding to be able to use those type of models to be able to get out the vote, but also advocate for their candidates. So across the political infrastructure spectrum, more of these types of political entities have been stood up, even the super PACs as well. So you're seeing that more as increase. And it goes back to your question about the money side and flowing into Asian Americans. So that is starting to increase So across, you know, across those, that is part of the energizing part of what is happening in the Asian American community in the political structure.
You've mentioned Washington State a few times. We had the Republican Secretary of State on from the state of Washington, a year or two ago, and she was talking about everything they do there. And it was just fascinating to see how much easier things are in Washington State than they are here in Texas as far as it comes to voting and getting the vote out and educating voters. My last question I wanted to ask you about, though, is what are you going to be watching for in the next 12 to 24 months among Asian political influence? And what should we be watching for?
I think here in Texas, I think in the emergence of what the data is going to look at on the turnout as a result of what's happening in this cycle, especially a lot of things happening in the presidential cycle that will have massive impact. You know, the senatorial races too as well here. So in terms of who's going to come out, and we'll be watching in terms of those registered voters, are they going to, how much of the registered voters are going to turn out, and what's the messaging that will drive them out? I think that's one of the key factors to take a look at. I think Georgia will be another pivotal state for Asian Americans, as is also Pennsylvania. So there's a lot of focus on that too as well, and in Ohio. So so some of those candidates have actually hired Asian American staff specifically. Mm-hmm. You know, so Sherrod Brown's race up in state of Ohio, he's hired some key Asian American staff to help reach out and help bring that expertise, you know, to his re-election campaign.
That's interesting. That's a very hard fought contest there in Ohio. And, yeah, and obviously they're fighting it out, scrapping it out for every single vote. And so they've identified obviously something there where they go, hey, nobody may be speaking to these voters. We need to speak to these voters.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Every vote counts as always, and elections
every
have consequences, you know?
Yep.
100%. Albert, this is great insight. We haven't talked enough about this, and I appreciate you shining a light on it and kind of opening us up to really what's happening with this these members of our community. So thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, Albert, we're going to watch those numbers in November as well. We may have to loop back with you after that to see what the takeaways were there.
Let's do that. Sounds
all right,
good.
Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, y'all. The conversation doesn't stop here. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. We're @Yolitics.